What's goody, good y'all? This is your girl, Miss Giggle. You are tuned into the RTS Book Club right here on the Stardom Radio. And today I got for you a book by author Michael Bazin called What Do Men Know What They Want? Yes, I'm going to be reading some pages from that book for you today. Do Men Know What They Want? And before I get started with that, we're going to start it off with a song. You know, as I always do with the show, I started off with a song. So I'm going to play Jonah Syndrome by Gospel Gladiators.
Thank you.
Gladiator Syndrome by the Gospel Gladiators, and we're going to delve into this book, Do Men Know What They Really Want? Yes, and it starts off like this. Do men know what they want? I'm not sure they do, but they definitely know what they don't want. Drama. But are men responsible for creating conflict in their relationships because of their lack of honesty? On one hand, they demand monogamy, but at the same time exercising their options to see whomever they want. Most women believe that men are never satisfied, and they may be right, but the question is, are women willing to listen to what men say they want and accept it, or will they try to change them? Never satisfied. It's hard to believe it's been almost 17 years since I updated this book. It was my first, my baby. It was the book that started it all. I can remember traveling around the country with that raggedy old suitcase stuffed with books, going from town to town, raising hell on the local morning shows. That was before all the national syndication that I would be unknowingly become a huge part of. Those were the days of the standing room only love, lust, and lies relationship seminars. It was just me, a handheld microphone, and hundreds of fired up women ready to kill me. I was so cocky back then. I thought I had all the answers. Life has taught me so much since then. The older you get, the more you realize how much you don't know. I released the original version of Never Satisfied back in January of 1995. I was still driving trains for the Chicago Transit Authority, waiting for a sign that it was time to take the leap of faith. And that day came soon after I published the book. It was a bitter cold day, and I was working on the tracks with the rail workers. I boarded a train headed back to O'Hare Airport and saw a family on the way out of town to someplace tropical. I remember how happy they were, laughing and joking around, their straw hats on. At the moment, I said to myself, why can't that be my family boarding a plane? I wanted a better life for myself and for my daughter, Makai, who was 3 years old at the time. So 3 months later, I woke up, rolled out of bed, onto my knees, and prayed. I told God I was ready. I know my Christian fans are going to freak out when they hear that. But I did pray, and tears rolled down my face because I knew from that day my life would never be the same. Since then, I've hosted 2 television shows, Talk or Walk, and Bathing After Dark. I've had two of my novels, adapted to stage plays, Men Cry in the Dark and The Maintenance Man, and produced 2 relationship films, Love, Lust, and Lies, and Do Men Know What They Want? Currently, I host my own nationally syndicated radio show, but my proudest moment came in 2007 when I led the Gina 6 Civil Rights March. It was incredible to see thousands of people from all over the country of every age and race coming together to get justice for those 6 boys. I'll never forget the moment for as long as I live. Also, campaigning to elect the first black president was a huge landmark as well. It felt good to have his camp tell us how instrumental we were in getting him elected. Yes, a lot has changed since then. I'm older and hopefully wiser, which is why I felt compelled to update this book. I want to share what I have learned in the past 17 years with my readers and my radio family. We've discussed so many topics over the years, and I felt this was an opportunity to put my thoughts down for the next generation to read. When Never Satisfied was first released in 1995, it became one of the most successful self-help books on relationships written by an African-American male. I knew it was going to shock some people and spark dialogue about everything from cheating men to the women who tolerate it. And that's what my entire career has been all about, provoking conversation. Although it's been many years since I self-published the original, we are still hesitant to move the relationship model forward. Sometimes it's due to our religious beliefs, old-fashioned thinking, and yes, the fear of change. I realize how difficult it can be to change the way you look at relationships, but let's face it, relationships and the institution of marriage are in real trouble. If you were in school and you got a 50 on a test, that's not passing. That's flunking. And right now we're flunking out of relationships and marriage 101. When people hear terms such as open relationships, swinging, and polygamous, they freak out. But the reality is most people are in open relationships already. They either don't know it or they don't want to admit it. It's like they have a case of selective amnesia. Well, this is your wake-up call. And just as I did back in 1995, I'm going to smack you in the mug with a hard dose of reality. Not according to me, but based on what everyday people have to say. I took the liberty of updating some of the stories based on some of the entertaining emails and calls I've received on my radio show over the years. I can promise you two things. You won't be able to put it down once you start reading, and you won't stop laughing sometimes. When you see people so caught up in the game of cheating, you have to laugh to keep from crying. So here it is, the new version of Never Satisfied. It kept all the good stuff from the original with a lot of new ideas and different perspectives. Thanks again for all the years of laughs, great music, and the education. You guys have taught me more than I could have ever taught you. Enjoy. Food, sex, and silence. Do men know what they want? According to comedian Chris Rock, the answer is simple: food, sex, and silence. His statement may have been meant as a joke, but for a majority of men, he was right on point. Let's face it, men are simple when it comes to relationships. If our women is not rationing sex, is cooking great meals, and is willing to give us our space, chances are we're happy, at least happy enough to stay in the relationship. However, if the wife or girlfriend is unable to consistently satisfy these needs, most men will likely use it as an excuse to seek satisfaction elsewhere. We are the consummate fair-weather lovers. At the first sign of sex rationing or being smothered, we are out the door and into the bed of another woman. Of course, this does not apply to all men, but I think it's fair to say that the majority of men would not tolerate going without or being locked down, especially if we have options. It's been said a man is only as faithful as his options. And generally speaking, it's true. It's easy for a man to boast about being faithful when nobody's interested in having sex with him in the first place. But for those men who are in demand, such as athletes, actors, and yes, radio personalities, the temptation can be overwhelming. It's easy to understand how pastors, politicians, and celebrities get caught up in sex scandals. There is so much pussy being thrown at them, you wonder how any mortal man can resist. At some point, that moment of weakness creeps in, and bam, next thing you know, she's looking up and you're looking down. After it's over, you lie there asking yourself, how did this happen? The answer to that question is simple: ego. Most women know the easiest way to get a man's attention is by stroking his ego, especially if their wife or girlfriend is not stroking it at home. Every man wants a woman who will tell him how brilliant he is and that he's the greatest lover she's ever had. Just as women have emotional needs, men have egotistical needs. What men say they want. When I ask men on my radio show what they wanted out of their relationships, the top three responses had nothing to do with food, sex, or even physical attraction. I'm sure that will come as a shock to most women who see all men as sexual predators with no conscience or emotions. But men fall in love too, and many of us want to be in a monogamous relationship. Yes, ladies, some of us want families, someone to grow old with, all that other mushy stuff. All men are not dogs. Some of us just need a little training. Women need a better understanding about what's really going on with us. Yes, we think about sex all the time, but it goes deeper than that. So get your pens and papers ready and write down what I'm about to share with you. The top three things men say they want is respect, support, and freedom. Let's examine respect first. Respect. The Webster Dictionary defines respect as to take notice of, to regard with special attention, to regard as worthy of special consideration, hence to care for, to heed, to consider worthy of esteem, to regard with honor. It is clear that no man can be the king of his castle without respect. If his woman won't submit to his authority, then how can he move the family forward as the leader? Now, keep in mind, I'm only referring to good men, not the cheaters, not the players, and not the irresponsible boys masquerading as men. With that being said, why are some women so adamantly against the word submission? Does not mean to abuse. It merely implies that a woman should yield to her man to comply with the decision he has made. The responsibility of the woman is to choose a man whose decision-making she trusts in the first place, and to choose a man who is wise enough to consult her before making important decisions. But once her choice is made, both people cannot have the last word. Both people cannot lead. Someone has to submit. It's amazing to me that on one hand, these same women who are dead set against submission have no problem submitting to the pastor at church or their bosses at work. They are careful to use a respectful tone and to comply with whatever direction they are given by these men. However, the man who has committed to them as a life partner often gets less respect than these men who have no stake whatsoever in her well-being. These are also the same women who are shocked when they discover their man is cheating with a less attractive, less educated woman. Well, guess what? She may not be beautiful or have a degree, but she understood how to talk to him, how to treat him. Equality may sound idealistic, but the reality is we all have a role to play. My advice for women is to find yours and stop picking and choosing when to play wife. Okay, I hear that. Okay, next chapter is a woman who has his back. Any man who is serious about pursuing his dreams must make sacrifices and work long, hard hours. If his woman is not his biggest cheerleader, then what good is she? When times get tough, a man needs a woman in his corner who will put her arms around him and say, hang in there, babe, you can do it. Some women have supported their men financially, some have provided important contacts, and others have put in time to help build the business. A woman from New York put it this way, an ambitious man will never be happy unless he's pursuing something worthwhile. So why not support him and help make him successful? And you both win. Unfortunately, some women are afraid to see their men succeed. They're worried that as soon as he makes it, he will leave the marriage or relationship. My response to that is simple. Never help your man expecting something in return. That's not being genuine. If you truly love your man, you want to see him win regardless. If you stay together or not, this is a classic case of women claiming to love their men unconditionally while at the same time expecting their payoff for the time they put in. In many ways, women can be just as selfish as men. They just don't want to admit it. All right, I'm going to take a musical break right now, and I'm going to play the next song, and this song right here is my favorite, Something About the Name Jesus by the Rance Island Group.
Hallelujah. Young people, there's nothing wrong with dancing for Jesus. But we can't forget where we come from. So if you don't mind, let's have a little church right now.
Something about that name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
Listen.
Something about the name Jesus.
Something about the name Jesus.
Hallelujah. Yes,
God. It is the sweetest name. Sweetest name. I know.
And lift your hands and say
it. It is the sweetest name.
Thank you, Jesus.
I know.
Listen to this right here.
Some people say I'm pretty, but to me, I can't explain.
No, no.
The power that I feel, oh, when I call your name.
When I call your name.
Said it's just mine. I love the name.
I love the name.
Oh, how I love.
was a real sounding good right there. Was something about the name Jesus. That's one of my favorite gospel songs right there. And we're going to get back into the book. Do men know what they want? And we are at the chapter, Let Freedom Ring. During the taping of my relationship film, Love, Lust, and Lies, a woman from Atlanta was asked, what do you think men want? Her response was, men want their freedom. The men who were on the set started to applaud, so did I. There's nothing more important for a grown man than to know his freedom has not been taken away simply because he says, I do. When he promised to love, honor, and cherish, he meant it, but most men don't expect their lives to change just because they give you the label of wife or girlfriend, especially when it comes to hanging out with friends and having a curfew. A healthy relationship should expand your world, not reduce it. Regardless if the man is being faithful or not, trying to control his comings and goings is a recipe for disaster. Men will tolerate nagging, excessive shoes, shopping, even having their closets and bathrooms hijacked with feminine hygiene products. But no real man will accept that his relationship will forever restrict him from having a sense of freedom. Notice I said a sense of freedom because as husbands and boyfriends, we understand that we must be accountable to our partners. But there is a thin line between accountability and imprisonment. Come on, ladies. If we're going to keep it real, men are going to do what they want to do anyway. You're not going to make the situation any better by making his escape more difficult. It will only add stress to the relationship. In the end, it all boils down to trusting your man to be responsible. Wasting your time trying to control where he is and whom he's with is just plain silly. Let it go or let go of the relationship. It's that simple. Men 101. Okay, ladies, it's time to break out your notepads. Now that I've given you an overview of what men want, I want to prepare you for an even more interesting lesson on how men think. Initially, I was going to write an entire new book on the topic of do men know what they want, but after filming my documentary, Do Women Know What They Want, I discovered that most of these issues that men have in their relationships were in the original version of Never Satisfied. How and why men cheat. So instead, I added new stories from the men and women I interviewed on the show. Over the years, I also changed the perspectives I wrote between the stories. I've learned a lot in the past 16 years, and I wanted to share that with my daughter and nieces, as well as all of you and yours. I realize that some people will always consider my views to be controversial, over the top, but the truth will always be controversial. But this book is not about my truth. These stories are your stories, from the CEOs to the stay-at-home moms. I promise that you will be enlightened by the stories on all sides. The most important lesson I learned during this project was that men and women do want the same things, good sex, respect, honesty, security, but sometimes our insecurity, lack of self-esteem, and even our culture get in the way of us having healthy relationships. Sometimes we need a new perspective to find a better way to reach our goals, and trust me, this will be different. So look at this book as edutainment, education, and entertainment. I always find that combination to be the best way to hold an audience's attention. And what could it be more engaging than a debate about what men and women want? My documentary film will address the issues of what women want. So now let's see if we can agree on what men want. And the best way to understand what men want is to understand what men think about everything from sex, relationships, and of course why they cheat. Let the games begin. Smooth operator. What methods will a man utilize to assail his affair? And how many lies will he tell to maintain these silly relationships? These tricks or games, as women refer to them, have been the reason behind many breakups and divorces. It seems technology has made the game cheating much simpler to play with the innovation of social networking sites such as Facebook and Twitter. But regardless of scientific advances, one simple fact remains: a man must forever keep his lies straight, because with one slip of the tongue, his world could come tumbling down around him. The hunt. Any successful hunt must begin with the selection of the ideal location to find a particular animal. The cheating man understands this fact and has carefully considered where he will lay his insidious traps. The most commonly preferred places are the bars, nightclubs, and lounges. These meat markets provide the perfect stalking grounds for any man who desires to temporarily resign from his relationship. Now, where else can such an alluring combination of women, alcohol, immorality be found under one roof? And because so many women lack self-esteem and role models of how a man is supposed to treat a woman, men don't have to possess intelligent conversation or good manners. All he has to do is appear to have money and walk around with enough swagger, and the panties come flying on, usually without last names being exchanged or the use of a condom. Considering that those women who frequent these establishments are aware of the perpetrating and shallow nightlife, one might wonder, why do they continually go back for more? Well, men have formulated their own ideas. They believe these women are desperately lonely, bored, or simply hard up. Are they right? Most women would probably say no, but actions speak louder than words. Every weekend, they pile in style overcrowded clothes, wearing tight skirts, heavy makeup, and their breasts pushed up to their chins. Their piercing stares and suggestive body language declares tonight is the night. There's no doubt many of these women, while not openly admitting it, are romantically entertaining thoughts of finding that special man. But unfortunately, the subscript fantasy plays right into the hands of the hunter, who will most certainly use it as leverage to get what he really wants: uncommitted sex. Some women do eventually wake up and realize the club is no place to meet a decent man after years of putting up with the exhausting and childish game associated with nightlife. They grab their clothes and force the round never to return. However, this rule of reckoning is of no concern to the hunter, who is confident that next week will bring countless others to take their places. They will be lined up halfway around the block in the cold and rain, desperately waiting to get into the club like lambs being led to slaughter. And it is from amongst these unsuspecting teachers that the next other woman will be chosen. The question is, who will it be, and why was she chosen? Choosing the other woman. The attitude of many women is men will lie down with anything in the with the heartbeat. That indecisiveness may well be valid if the cheating man is only interested in a one-night stand. However, if he intends on maintaining an ongoing affair, specific requirements must be met, one of which is empathy. The other one must be willing to accept his current relationship without rocking the boat. Most cheating men, especially the married ones, will come right out and tell her the details of a situation, For such a large number of women to choose from, the odds are in his favor. Many women today are so desperate for a man, they'll accept that he's married, living with another woman, or has several other women. As one woman told me, a piece of a man is better than no man. Whew. Sexual inhibitions is another requirement. John from Chicago stated, if the other woman won't allow me to be sexually adventurous, then what the hell do I need her for? I could be bored at home, his comment. It's typical of most married men who cheat. The other woman must be willing to do all the things they are afraid or willing to ask their wives or girlfriends to do. In the mind of the cheating man, the other woman isn't held to a high moral standard. The fact that she's settling for a man who's already taken is the perfect excuse to treat her like a whore, which in many cases is exactly what she is. Why should any man respect a woman who's knowingly allows herself to be hidden from his wife and the rest of the world? If she wants to play this game, then she must play by his rules. And believe it or not, some women play this role for years, giving up the best years of their lives to be put in the second, third, or even fourth position. Loyalty is another important attribute for other women. The cheating man, despite his own infidelity, needs a woman whom he can trust not to run the streets. If he calls at midnight on a Saturday night and she had better pick up the phone, he doesn't want to hear any excuses about her being too busy hanging out with her girlfriends. In his mind, she is his personal sex slave who is at his beck and call 24/7 as a relationship develops. She is restricted from pursuing other intimate relationships and is expected to be completely loyal to him. Any breach of this unwritten contract will prompt him to terminate the affair and go hunting elsewhere. Women see this as a... Okay. Women see this as a hypocritical sense. He himself is cheating. But surprisingly, many women tolerate this nonsense. In their minds, his jealousy is evidence that he cares about her, when the only thing he really cares about is what he's getting out of the relationship. It's all about him. Physical beauty would have to be the least most important attribute. Don't get me wrong. I'm not implying that men who cheat are only interested in ugly women. What I'm merely saying is a woman who is exceptionally attractive and terrible in bed is not all that valuable an asset to the cheating man. Okay, he would prefer a woman of moderate looks who is great in bed, who has her own place where he can go to creep. Oftentimes, the overly attractive woman is seen as a liability because she's more likely to make demands of his time and money. Since most cheating men are broke, the last thing they need is additional expense. The philosophy is to keep it simple, keep it cheap, and keep it on the down low. The process of choosing this qualified other woman from out of the crowd is a complex one. As you well know, the nightclub is a very dense place. Therefore, the hunter must keep his eyes sharp and position himself in the areas where his efforts can be maximized. Often you will notice him sitting at the bar, standing by the door, or looking down over the crowd from atop his perch. He wants to be the first to move in for the kill if a vulnerable woman should arrive, or should I say a wounded animal. Once he spots his target, the chase is on, armed with a fresh haircut, splash of cologne, and hopefully a breath mint. He steps out on his lustful safari. Just as the animal hunters relies on guns, traps, and camouflage to capture his prey, the cheating man depends on smooth talk, good looks, and low self-esteem with his victims to accomplish his goals. But determining whether a particular woman has the characteristics that will suit his purpose is not such as easy task in the nightclub environment. Live music, incurable, perpetrating, and the woman's blocking girlfriends make the process all the more difficult. This leaves him with little else to go on except the woman's attire. More precisely, what she's wearing, how she's wearing it. This is the first indication as to level, as to her level of availability. Class and morality. But due to the fact that short, tight outfits are commonplace, wherever you go, the perception is that most of the women in the club are dizzy, promiscuous whores looking for action. Some men may perceive it as an invitation to touch, grasp, and be disrespectful. There is no doubt many women expect these types of impulses since they go to such great lengths to expose so much of themselves. They are shamelessly sending a message regarding their availability. While adamantly demanding to be acknowledged, the hunter is merely reimbursing her for her troubles, and it doesn't help that women are on the dance floor bouncing and grinding to songs that prefer them as bitches and hoes, while at the same time demanding to be respected. It's a complete contradiction. On the other hand, the women who elects to dress conservatively and views as more ethical and self-assured, the message she sends is, I'm confident enough in what I am wearing to attract a man who respects me, not out just looking for sex. Some men also perceive her as more intelligent and classy, mature and self-confident women. Constantly complain about how difficult it is to compete for attention when the majority of women are willing to stroll around half-naked and throw themselves at men. And since the majority of men on the club scene are not interested in your IQ, advanced degrees, or the last great book you read, the more provocatively dressed woman wins 9 times out of 10. After all, he's not looking for a lifelong wife to take home to mama, only a part-time hoochie to take home to bed. Clearly, the nightclub is nothing more than a weekly production specifically designed for play. Profit and perpetrating. The music is loud, the drinks are expensive, and everyone is dressed to impress. So what if many of the women don't have furniture in their apartments or even an apartment? Who cares if the guy has a $300 credit card score? I mean, 300 credit card score or 3 baby mamas. On this pretentious stage, nothing is what it appears to be. When the doors open, the curtains go up, it's showtime. Unemployed men suddenly become record producers and women on welfare masquerade as fashion models. With all the role-playing and BS going on, it's no wonder women complain about not being able to find a good man at the club. Hell, even a so-called good man will step out to briefly forget just how good he is. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm cracking up a little bit as I'm reading the story. Because what he's saying is so true. And I've been in clubs where women are dressed so provocatively to get the attention of men who, one, may be married. Two, they may not be married but have a girlfriend and they just out for a good time. Or maybe a man who's single but don't want to be in a relationship, so they look for that girl that they can get either that one night stand from or just have her as that booty call chick. That's that chick he can call whenever he feel the need he wanna get some. She's that chick he called for that booty call. I'm sorry, it happens like that when you going out to clubs and stuff like that. So let me get back into the story. However, not all men seek their mistresses and lovers at these night spots. Most prefer surroundings and a more comfortable or familiar place where they can mix business with pleasure, fooling around on the job. While another time may be the right time, the daytime has become prime time for fooling around. That is, the workplace has become the hot spot for infidelity. Every statistic shows that the job is the number one place where affairs begin. And although many companies have strict policies against fraternizing with coworkers, that hasn't stopped the avalanche of affairs and inappropriate flirting. For the first time in American history, female workers represent nearly 50% of the workforce, occupying every position from secretary to CEO. This reality puts men and women in direct contact with one another on a daily basis. In the morning, they board crowded buses and trains together, and for 8 long hours they work in cramped off spaces, brushing up against one another by accident and by choice. It was only a matter of time before the fireworks began. A cordial invitation to have a quick lunch passionately erupts into an indecent proposal to have a quickie for lunch. All the while, the cheater is getting paid. There should be no mystery as to why extramarital affairs are flourishing in the workplace. It is the ideal place for the cheating man to meet a woman who is compatible, desirable, and accessible. Unlike the club scene, the workplace allows for a more gradual progression toward intimacy. There is no rush. In this environment, the cheating man appears more like a scavenger, leisurely waiting for the slow death of an existing relationship so he can swoop down like a vulture and pick up the scraps of the emotionally torn victim. He is a great listener, too, especially if it's a negative story about the woman's husband or boyfriend. He appears to be a reliable shoulder to cry on, never realizing the support he really wants to give is in the form of his erect penis. Workplace affairs are mutually pursued involvements where both parties are generally upfront about their marital status and living. And living arrangements. The woman complains that her husband doesn't appreciate her, and the man swears his business is on the rise. However, one or both of them is usually lying. Most cheaters know that honesty isn't always the best policy. The trick is to bend the truth a bit until the woman's heart is firmly secured in the trap. How many times have you heard the lie, my woman doesn't understand me, or my wife is mad, but I'm not. And if all else fails, he'll give her his best line. I'm just waiting for the kids to get older than I'm getting a divorce. He knows damn well he's not going anywhere with 3 kids to support and a mortgage to pay. The real question is, do women really fall for these tight lines, or do they simply accept them in order to justify the relationship in their own minds? The cheating man doesn't care one way or the other. His only objective is to relax her defenses long enough to reel her in emotionally. Any lie will do. Inconsistency. Men who elect to tell the lies about being miserable at home must continue to show signs of their unhappiness. Now, the game becomes more complicated and the likelihood of getting caught increases. The wife or girlfriend begins to notice a sudden change in his attitude and his routine. First, he starts showing up late for work. I had to work an extra shift, baby. He'll say, but his overtime is usually doing a doggy style at the motel with his mistress. Then he'll discourage her from visiting him on the job, no doubt, to avoid when into his work core. Finally, the most obvious signs of infidelity working out more after gym, buying new underwear, or his wedding ring abruptly disappears, of course. He'll try to use the lame excuse, I lost it. When that doesn't work, the next step is to merely find a reason to leave it at home altogether. Men are notorious for using their work as a reason for taking off their hair. I'm doing my show. Close my door. Alrighty. Sorry about the interruption I got. Now back to where I was. Okay, merely find a reason to leave it at home altogether. Men are notorious for using their work as a reason for taking off their bands. It's interfering with my ability to do my job. He says, now, that excuse may not be much of a lie since his new job is chasing pussy. It does give away that an affair is going on. It's simply this inconsistency. Men are notorious for changing their habits. The once-a-week night out with the boys becomes two or three times a week. Sexually, he does not perform the same, if at all. And there will certainly be a shift in his attitude. Men are so bad at cheating that they consciously and unconsciously begin to pick fights to justify their cheating. Recently, I did a topic on my radio show during Sloppy Cheaters Monday. I asked women if there was such a thing as a respectful cheater. Mind you, I know that cheating is wrong and that men are already being disrespectful when they decide to cheat. But I wanted to make a point. Not surprisingly, most women agree that there is a right way and a wrong way to cheat, to creep. The expression that you often hear is just don't bring it home. During the taping of my film, Love, Lust, and Lies, a woman from New York made it clear as to what that meant. She better not call me, she better not know where I lay my head, and she damn sure better not be able to describe my house or what's in it, or what's inside my bedroom. Her point was simple, don't allow another woman to impact my day-to-day life. No diseases, no outside children, no significant monetary investments, no drama. But because men allow their smaller head to do all the thinking, more and more of these situations become an issue. But even after being busted over and over again, the hunt will continue. The next task is to find a way to communicate with his new love without being detected. Now the real games begin. Yes. That is so true. Some women say if they man cheat, you know, he just better not bring it, he better not bring it home. Some women say that. And some women are so clever as to snoop through the man's phone, find the evidence of who the other chick is, call that chick and try to, or find a chick on Facebook. Okay, you see the name. You find a chick on Facebook. You befriend her. And you find out all this information about your man that you didn't know. Like when they started having this affair and all that stuff. And all the stuff he's telling her of why their relationship is not working when it really is. Yep. You know, I understand, you know, most women, the other woman would say, you know, the only reason why she's with him, she doesn't want to commit a relationship herself. So what's the best way to get what you want that normally that you would get out of a relationship without actually having to be in a committed one is be a man's side tease. You get the same benefits as the woman he's in a relationship with, some of the same benefits as the woman he's in a relationship with. You know what I'm saying? But but the thing about being someone's side piece is you would never be the wife. that's the sad part of this situation, is that being someone's side piece, you would never be the wife. Because after a while, after being with this person for a while, even if it's just a sexual type relationship, after being with this person for a while, you're going to start catching feelings. And you're going to want that relationship. And you're going to want that relationship with the person you've been having an affair with. And then when you stress those feelings to him, he's going to be like, you know what kind of deal this is. You know it's just me and you getting together from time to time just having sex. But once you start catching feelings, you can't turn that off. Once you start having feelings, you cannot turn that off. That's the sad part of the situation. Just like when they say, when people say, is there really love at first sight? There is a such thing as love at first sight. Because as soon as you see that person, something inside you just makes you go, not crazy, but you just get this feeling inside you like, yes, this is the one, this is the one. And you pursue that person to get them to be your man or your girlfriend. It was love at first sight for you, might not have been for them, but still, you do what you got to do to get this person to be your man or your girlfriend. And most chicks who are the side piece, they know they're the side piece, but they want wifey privileges after a while because they started to catch feelings. It wasn't, the deal you and him had was not, wasn't for you to catch feelings. It was just for you and him to get together on occasion to have sex. Because most of the time when a man goes out on his woman, because when he wants sex, is because she's on her period. So he's not having sex with her on her period. So he's going to go to the next person to get what he needs. Yeah. Okay. I want to take a quick break right here. I'm going to check my chat room to see if anybody's in my chat room. Or on the line. No. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a musical break right here. Play Face to Face by Lionel Starkey and the Spiritual Seven. And I will finish the story after the song.
Oh, song right here. Lord, when the crooked, I've been hiding.
Elevated this phase of cheating to an art form but others are so stupid you suspect their wives and girlfriends are deaf. Dumb and blind, regardless of what the man's level of sophistication is, the technology of today has made it simple to make a last connection. One innovation that has revolutionized infidelity is texting. For the cheating man, this is the best. Yes, this is the best. Invention since the TV remote control, and you know how big a deal that was. Texting on your cell phone is one of the easiest ways to stay in touch with a mistress without having the phone ring. But it's also the most frequent way men get busted. If a woman suspects her man of cheating, the first thing she's going to do is check his cell phone. And if he suddenly puts a security lock on it, he's automatically guilty. Not just because he locked his phone, but also because he never locked his phone in the past. Inconsistencies in behavior is a dead giveaway that a man is stepping out. And most men, no matter how slick they think they are, will become inconsistent in one way or another, whether it's inconsistent with his time, sexually, or temperament. Kathy from New York says she knew when her husband was cheating because he would suddenly become argumentative. The minute he started picking fights over little things like laundry, me not answering my phone at a certain time, I knew another woman was in his life. In her case, her husband's temperament changed and he became inconsistent. There had to be a better way. Enter Facebook. Currently has over 5,000 friends on Basin Live on Facebook and 50,000 friends on Basin Live on Twitter. The vast majority of them are women. Now, given the fact that I use these social networks to promote the topics on my national radio show every day, it's obvious why I use it regularly. Not to mention, I'm a single heterosexual man who loves the contact with all my beautiful, intelligent, single women. Let's keep it real. But why would a married man be on Facebook and Twitter beyond chatting with those friends and family? I've been told by many of my single female friends on Facebook that they get hit on by more married men than single men. The married guys also list their status as married, and they post pictures of themselves and their wives, and is that bold or what? This is another example how out of control and disrespectful men have become towards their significant other. It's also a reflection of how desperate they perceive single women to be. Larry, who is a married 38-year-old teacher in New Jersey, made his point crystal clear. Why should I hide the fact that I'm married? There's just one less lie to tell when we hook up. If she takes the bait with the understanding that I have a wife and kids, she's accepting that it's all about having sex, period. I'm listening to the show titled, Does Facebook Cause Divorce? It was based on a study done by the American Academy of Matrimonial Lawyers. In it, they stated that an overwhelming number of the nation's top divorce attorneys said that over the past 5 years, they've seen an increase in the number of cases where cheating using social networks have been used as evidence. Mark, who's 42 years old and lives in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, is one of those statistics. After 6 years of marriage, he was on his way to divorce court, all because of one click of a button on his social networking site. Casual chatting turned into flirtation, flirtation turned into sexting, sexting turned into phone calls, and phone calls into hooking up. Don't get me wrong, I'm not blaming Facebook no more than I would blame my social networking site, MingleCity.com. But sites like these do allow people to have access to millions of singles, lonely, and sometimes desperate people, and it can all be done anonymously. And because the communication is lacking in most relationships, it's easy to understand how people can get lost in these fantasy relationships rather than deal with the reality of their own situation and try to work things out. Mark learned the consequences of flirting online the hard way. I call this story Poke Me. Poke Me. I joined Facebook towards the end of the year. I remember because it was right before Thanksgiving Day. I loaded all my information photos into my albums and sent out a friend request to all my frat brothers, close friends, and family. The first time I had any contact with Kyla was on January 2nd. My wife was visiting her family in Miami. I was home alone working on a graphic project on my computer. Right before I powered down, I logged on to my Facebook account to see if I had any messages. That's when I noticed that Kyla had poked me. If you're not familiar with Facebook, poking is a feature that lets you know someone noticed you. It's like saying hello. Now, keep in mind, my relationship status is on my profile. Read married to Kimberly, and there was a photo of my wife and me posted as my main picture. It was one of us in Cancun that had only my black swim trunks flexing my muscles. She had on a She had a one-piece bathing suit. Ever since our son was born 5 years ago, she was self-conscious about her scratch marks, not to mention she never did lose the weight around her stomach. Anyway, out of fun, I poked her back and sent her a friend request. She accepted shortly after that, and sent her a short encouraging message, thanks for accepting my friend and having Happy New Year. Mark. Then I turned my computer off early the next morning. I went back to work and noticed there was a message from college. Thanks for a Happy New Year shout out. I'm already headed to the gym while my lazy friends I'm still getting over their hangovers. Another year, another challenge. Chat with you later, Kyla. This time I went to her profile page. Her main photo was of a waterfall, so I had no idea what she looked like. And I clicked on her profile photos. My first reaction was, damn, she was gorgeous. She had short hair, slim brown skin. It was obvious from her picture that she was into fitness. She posted several photos of herself working out in the gym. Her abs and leg muscles were toned. Her ass was round and tight. My dick instantly got hard. And at that point, I knew I was in trouble. I should have clicked the unfriend button and blocked her right then and there, but instead, I decided to flirt. I took her back into the bedroom to make sure my wife was still asleep. Once I was sure she was knocked out, I started typing, "Good morning, sis, and thanks again for the poke and accepting my friend request. I want to tell you how impressed I am with your commitment to taking care of your body. I work out myself, and we can exchange health tips from time to time. Have a great day, Mark." There was nothing innocent about my message. I was trying to be cordial, hoping she would take the bait. Not that I was expecting to have sex with her, but I wanted to at least start a dialogue. Later that day, after my wife and I came back from shopping, I rushed to put away the groceries so that I could check to see if I had any message from Kyla. My wife went straight to the bedroom and turned into her reality shows. She knew I hated those programs, so she was accustomed to me going to my office and closing the door. Perfect. I was thinking, sure enough, when I logged on to my Facebook account, Kyla had left another message. But hello, Mar, and thanks for the compliment. I work out 4 to 5 days a week at a gym on Alton Road in South Beach. You and your wife should come down and join me. Sometimes I notice you're in pretty good shape yourself. It's all about diet and discipline, right? Hope to hear from you soon. Toodles, Kyla. Why did she have to mention my wife? I thought to myself, but I looked past. I was glad she was leaving the lines of communication open. I thought about keeping it cordial, but I figured, what the hell? She knows I'm married, so why not go for it? All she could do was say no, and I would go back to living my life. I took a deep breath and started typing. Excuse me, y'all. Just name the time and place. I'll be there. I work from home, not too far from you, and coral gables, so my schedule is flexible. Not sure if my wife can make it. She's not really into working out. You know how some black women are about sweating their hair out, LOL. I'm looking forward to throwing some weights up with you soon. Have a great day. Mark. In hindsight, that was the email that stepped over the line. Not only had I indirectly made a date to meet this woman, I was dogging out my wife by saying she was lazy and out of shape. But like so many men, my little head was doing all the thinking, so I pressed send. However, the response came within 10 minutes. Mark, are you being naughty? LOL, the invitation was for you and your wife, but I kind of figured she was not a regular in the gym when I saw your profile picture. You were buffed and she was clearly not in shape. I never understand why black women let themselves go once they get a man. Each time I go, the gym is full of white and Latino women working out to keep it tight. I guess some people just get comfortable, right? Let's meet up tomorrow morning around 10. The 9-to-5ers will be gone by then. We can have the gym to ourselves and really work up a sweat. Smile, text me your cell number. I'll text you the direction. See you there, Mark. Mark, see you there, Marky, Kyla. These are the moments that every married man knows is the proverbial crossing the line moment. First of all, she asked for my cell phone number. Big mistake. I was thinking, but I sent it anyway. Secondly, she added to my negative comments about my wife being out of shape. Another red flag, but I ignored it. And lastly, she clearly made a conscious effort to reach out to me based on my swim trunk photo showing off my bicep. Stalker tendency at home and homewrecker was written all over that one. But like so many other bored and horny married men, I took the bait, of course. I justified it by saying to myself, we're just going to work out. Yeah, right. I was already fantasizing about fucking her against this damn master. Once my wife was off to work, I packed up my workout gear and dropped my son off at preschool. In the 6 years of my marriage, I had never cheated. As I moved on to I-95 North, I was nervous and excited about what might happen. Shame, Mark. Shame. Face it, life can be very mundane. Every day is the same routine. Breakfast, work, drop off kids, pick up kids, do homework or playtime. Eat dinner, watch reality TV, no sex, go to sleep. Kyla was right about my wife getting comfortable. There was no excuse for her still being out of shape 5 years after our son was born. The local gym was less than 5 blocks away. I offered to pay for her membership and a personal trainer, but she always had an excuse. She was either tired, had dinner plans with her girlfriends, or she had just got her hair done. Kyla was right about that too. Too many women, especially bad women, put their hair before their health. I still was in love with my wife, but the handwriting was on the wall. She was never going to lift a dumbbell or go to a spin class. At least that's what I told myself as I pulled into the parking lot of the gym. I had to find some way to justify what I was doing. The gym was practically empty when I walked in. There was 2 muscle-bound guys bench pressing in the free weight area and a woman jogging on the treadmill. Suddenly, Kyla came rushing to the door behind me, sweat dripping down her face. And across her bare stomach, she had a pair of running shorts, sports bra, which showed off her erect nipples. Hey, Marky, you look exactly like your pictures. She pressed herself against the Italian hug, me around the neck like we had known each other for years. Come on in, make yourself at home. I'm going to grab a quick shower, and I'll be right back. I took off the shirt I had on. I took off the shirt I had over my wife's beater and began to scratch. The gym was laid out perfectly. Four real bodybuilders, nothing but free weights and cardio machines. I was on my second set on the bench press machine when Kyla came out of the locker room. She stood over to spot me as I added more weights to the bar. Don't try to show off. and hurt yourself. She laughed. This is what I do every day, I told her, so you can just stand back so you don't get hurt. Hurt me, Daddy, she said while standing over me with her legs straddling my head. I like it rough. I damn near dropped the ball on my chest looking up at the imprint of her pussy through her shorts, but I managed to keep it in the rest of my set. Once I got up from the bench, I noticed that the gym was completely empty. Where did everybody go? Let's just say I'm closed for lunch. So this is your place. No, I just manage it for an old boyfriend of mine. But I set the hours and make the rules. I bet you do a lot. What's that supposed to mean? It means that it's obvious that you do what you want to do, and I pause and what? And you get what you want. Am I going to get what I want today, Mark? She said while sitting in front of me on the bench and putting her hands on my dick. But what's that? I said, playing dumb. Come on now, you didn't think I invited you down here just to pump iron, did you? See? That's a damn shame. That is a damn shame. Using Facebook to get married men to cheat. That's a damn shame. Well, you did invite me and my wife, child, because I knew she wouldn't show up. And if she did, it wouldn't be long before she stopped coming. Won't look at her in that photo of you and her on Facebook. I knew she was retired. What do you mean, retired? You know, retired. As in done working, as in done competing, as in done fucking. I wanted to act offended that she tried to read my wife, our marriage, and me, but she was right. My sapphire was non-existent, and the energy she was giving me was so strong, there was no way I was leaving Nigel without touching and tasting her. She was confident, beautiful, sexually creative, everything my wife used to be. I felt like I owed it to myself to take what she was offering, if only for the one time, so I did. That affair went on for several months, but my affair with Kyla was not what broke my wife and me apart. Kyla was the first of three women I connected with that year on Facebook and other websites. She was just the woman who opened the door. By October of that year, my wife had hacked into my emails, read every letter I ever sent out. She even saw all the provocative photos of the ladies I was sleeping with. Now, my son is being raised in a single-parent house, so I'm paying alimony and child support, all because I chose to avoid my problems instead of addressing them. So, Madeline, beware. If your relationship is on the rocks, the internet is the last place you want to be. Your whole life can be shattered in a single email, just as mine was. It all ended with the poke. And I've gotten pokes on Facebook from people I don't even know. I don't poke the people back. I just click on the X to close it. When you click on the X, it deletes the poke. If people poke me, if I get a poke for somebody I know, of course I'm gonna poke them back. But if you poking me and I don't know you, don't even have you as a Facebook friend, of course I'm gonna delete your poke. Why are you poking me? What is your reason for poking me? Like, I've gotten messages in my inbox on Facebook with people trying to holler at me. Like, why? Like, I don't know you, but you're sending me a friend request. And you're sending me a message to let me know you're sending me a friend request. Well, because you saw my picture and you thought that wasn't, because you saw my picture, I look good in my picture. And you thought that was an invitation for you to send me a friend request so we could be friends. I don't know you. We don't even have mutual friends in common. Why would I go click and say, okay, I'm accept you as a friend? I don't know you. I've met a lot of people being on social sites because people see your picture. Whatever picture you use of yourself, people see it, and they're like, oh, okay, she seems like, he or she seems like a nice person. They want to, they want to become friends. I don't mind becoming friends with people. You know, on Facebook, I play games on Facebook, so a lot of people that contact me play the same games I play, and they need people to play games with. So I don't mind, you know, having you as a friend because of that. But if I don't know you, we don't have no mutual friends in common, why would you think I would accept your friend request? Why would you send me a message and say, oh, I saw your picture, I think you're very sexy, I want to get to know you? My Facebook status says I'm in a relationship. I am, but when I put it there, I wasn't. And my thing was, I'm in a relationship. My thing was saying I'm in a relationship with myself. That's why, you know, a lot of women so badly want to be in a relationship that they don't even think to have one with themselves first before having one with a man. That's the sad part of this situation. Now, what's sad about this is that in this story, she said she's managing it for her old boyfriend. So her and the ex are not together, but she's managing his business? What man you know or any woman you know would let the ex run their business? This is how they make a living, generate money. Why would they let the ex run it? So, you know, something's got to be fishy about that. You know, something's got to be fishy about that. And for him to take that, you don't know this woman from Adam or Eve, and she pokes you on Facebook, and you decide to respond to her poke. Dude could be a stalker, a mass murderer. You don't know who's on the other side of that poke. And that's why now you're divorced, and your child is being raised in a single-parent household. And I'm sure you still love your wife, your ex-wife, and I'm sure if things were different, you wouldn't have never stepped out on her. But some men do it, and they hate themselves after the wife is gone, she's gone with the kids. And they realize they made a big mistake. They want it all back, but they can't get it back. Once you break a woman's trust and her heart, it's hard to get all of that back. So, we're in the last, let's see how many, okay, we have 30 minutes left in the show. So, let's finish up this story where I'm at. I wasn't going to play a song, but I'm going to change that. I'm just going to finish up this story, because this story is good. This book is good. So if you want to get this book, you can go to Amazon.com, type in Michael Bazin, or you can type in Do Men Know What They Want, and the book will come up. I think it's like $9 for the Kindle version, and maybe about $14, $15 for the actual book. But if you join the Kindle, it's some kind of Kindle club, then if you join it, you can get the book for free, but it's a month-to-month service you have to pay for. Michael Bazin was giving this book away for free for a limited time, and when I saw it on Facebook that he was giving it away, I went to Amazon, got it, and that's why I'm able to bring it to you today. So let's get back into the story. Getting busy, keeping in touch with another woman is no simple task. It's often stressful with every new lover comes in, every new battle with the suspicious wife or girlfriend to see to it that this whorish plans are not interfered with. Facebook and Twitter apps loaded, cell phones turned on, undercover texting, otherwise said, is enough to make your head spin, but that's just the tip of the iceberg on tease. Resolves his communication issues, the desperate and horny cheater must face yet another child dividing up her heart to justify leaving out of the house long enough to get busy. I call this process the Great Escape. Many men view the escape as an overly exaggerated challenge to describe the man's desire to get away to see the other woman. But if you present the same expression to the man who cheats, he'll understand precisely why it fits perfectly. Past experience have taught him that getting away to fool around is not so easy, especially if he's shacking or married. Some men spend hours, if not days, thinking up elaborate excuses to explain their temporary overnight absences. They sometimes enlist the help of close friends and family members to pull off this charade. And that's the problem with lies. You always have to build on them and involve other people. At some point, the lies don't add up, or you tell so many lies that you start tripping over them. The most interesting thing I discovered over the years of discussing infidelity in relationships in a series I call Sloppy Cheaters is that the same men who feel trapped were often the same ones who insisted on being in a committed relationship in the first place. Yes, they're not usually the ones who suggest or pressure the woman into being a couple. That's right, I said it, men are greedy, but they're not stupid. At least not when it relates to recognizing a quality woman. The biggest dog in the world knows when he has a good thing, and he'll try to hold on to it at all costs. So we try to tie the woman down by selling her a fantasy, putting a ring on it or whatever, and all the while we're out there poking Ellie, Mary, Jane, and Shaniqua. Oh, my God. We are out there poking Ellie, Mary, Jane, and Shaniqua. Now I realize how confusing this must be for most women. Many of them ask, if men value their relationship so much, why would they risk cheating in the first place? Or they ask, why can't men just be upfront about wanting to see other women and spend all the time and energy it takes to creep? First of all, no man cheats with the expectation of getting caught. For whatever reason, men think their game is so tight they're going to get away with it. Wrong. Most men are very reckless when it comes to cheating. 90% of the time, our women know we're cheating. They either ignore the obvious signs or accept it and keep their mouth shut. Hell, the wife or girlfriend might be cheating too, as the expression goes, what is good for the goose is good for the gander. I thought it was going to be what comes around goes around. That's why I was reading wrong. And to answer the question as to why men aren't honest and upfront wanting to see other women, simple, men don't want their women to exercise the same option to see other men. Bottom line, so instead of being truthful and open, we have a nation of grown-ass men, some as old as 60, telling lies to get out of the house so they can go cheat. How pathetic. As the night's secret rendezvous draws nearer, the wall soon begins to close in on the horny cheater. His comfortable, furnished living room is subconsciously transformed into a trim jail. So, vulnerable cannot tell her to get out of here tonight. He contemplates as the clock ticks, the tension mounts, the man of the house now sees himself as the inmate of the house. Likewise, the innocent wife or girlfriend is also transformed. Where the once silly, docile woman in the hair rollers now stands the fierce warden with the keys to his freedom. What drama. And to think all of this hallucinating because we as men are not mature enough to be truthful in the beginning of the relationship. For the majority of us, the truth is never an option. As far back as I can remember, not one man in my life has ever told me, Michael, always be honest with women. To the contrary, young men are encouraged to have sex with as many girls as they want, just don't get caught. Who do we know some women will accept the truth and continue to date us? And most importantly, there's never a loss of respect. It's unfortunate that men don't put a value on that. Nothing hurts a woman more than being disrespected, and nothing is more unforgivable than being humiliated. Since the warden, I mean the wife or girlfriend, won't issue a temporary pardon, the desperate treaty thereby survives a plan of escape. Carl, who lives in Detroit and has been married for 8 years, admitted that he's mastered the art of escaping for most of his marriage. When you meet someone new and desire to be with them is so intense, you just want to be with them. He says, and it's almost as if my wife can sense it, and she comes up with the last minute plans to keep me busy. I look at the challenge of getting away to cheat like the movie, The Shawshank Redemption. You have to chisel your way out one ball at a time. Playing ball. Sporting events such as baseball, basketball, and football are the most common excuses men use to lie their way out of the house. Supposedly, they are either watching or playing. My guess would be playing, since one or more of these sports are being played year-round. It's become the perfect alibi for getting out day or night. Summer or winter, I know men who play so much golf that I don't expect to see them for hours at a time. Every Saturday morning, they leave home hoping for a hole-in-one, pun intended. When they return home, exhausted from a long workout, it's not from playing tennis or flag football. This is another example of how the cheating man's misogyny is his affair. I mean, mismanages his affair. Instead of holding his ejaculation, he empties himself into the other woman, usually without a condom, and has to avoid intimacy with the wife slash girlfriend because he can't perform. And since most women know their man is cheating, this becomes a proverbial slap in the face. Not only is she expected to tolerate his lying and cheating, but she has to do without sex because he is giving the other woman his energy. Two, this is the straw that breaks it for many women who often declared to play that game. We'll address that concept in a later chapter. But let me get back to the horny cheater trying to escape. It's not just a lie about playing sports that helps men get out of the house. It's a lie about going to watch sports. It's the perfect excuse to get away with cheating because most women are programmed to unlock the style, you know, and allow their men out on game nights. This custom has been passed down for generations and generations. Most women have experiences with their fathers, uncles, and brothers, so it's usually no big deal, even if the wife or girlfriend loves sports too. She understands that she is not invited unless the other guys invite their wives or girlfriends, which is almost never. Even with the perfect alibi, the cheating man always finds a way to mess up. Phil found that out when he tried to slip out of the house for a quickie. He has been with his wife, Liz, for 6 years, married 4, and the sports alibi was his patented move, was working perfectly until he did what most cheating men do over time, get comfortable. Phil's story. When I went to use sports as an excuse to get out, I arranged to have one of my brothers called my house. Okay, I think I went to phone. One of my brothers called my house about an hour or two before game time. For example, if the game comes on at 7, the call comes in around 5:30 or 6. The time factor is critical since receiving phone calls too early or too late will make leaving out of the house more awkward. You want to make it seem like it slipped your mind. Oh, that's right. The game is on tonight, baby. I gotta go. That way it seems more spontaneous. Hit the point. Another important part of the setup is choosing the right caller. I prefer someone who my wife is familiar with, like a close friend or coworker. Having a perfect stranger call is a definite no-no. The last time I used this scheme Last time I used this scheme was last season during the NBA playoffs. for the high day with my lady friend Karen at 7 p.m. Friday. She was bragging all day about what she was going to do to me, so you know I had to get away to shut her up. At 6 p.m., my best friend Brian called. I made sure my wife was in a position to answer the phone. This way she could identify who it was right after they said their hellos. Went into my act. Brian, what's up? A basketball game, you said? Who's playing? The Chicago Wolves and the Miami Heat. Ah. Huh? Cool. The MVP, Derek Rose, is going to take LeBron and wait for school tonight. I made sure to talk as loud as possible so that she would overhear our conversation. Didn't want her to get the impression it was my idea to go out. When she tried to walk out of the room, I followed her around the house with the phone. This performance was especially for her, and she was going to hear all of it whether she liked it or not. So what time did you say the game starts? Because I went too far. 8, cool. I'll bring the chips and pretzels, and you pick up the beer. I should be there around 7:30 p.m. Catch you later. Talk about Academy Award for Best Actor. There was running off at the mouth about our fake plans while my buddy Brian was laughing his ass off on the other end. When the presentation was complete, I casually began putting on my blue jeans, Bulls jersey. I wanted to look the part. Meanwhile, my wife was giving me one of those suspicious looks, but because I've done such a great job of acting, I fooled myself to believe I was actually going to watch basketball. As I walked toward the door, I put on my Chicago Bulls cap to look authentic. See you later, baby. I said, don't wait up. Okay, sweetheart, she said. So I passed to you. Have a nice time. She paused with the boys. So what the hell did she mean by that remark? I thought as I shut the door behind me, at the time I didn't care. I was a free man and Cam was anxiously waiting at her place, buck naked with a bottle of wine and ice. Got in my car, put in one of my old Isley Brothers CDs, hit the road. At 8 p.m. I arrived at Cam's apartment. She answered the door wearing a sexy red bra panty set. I wanted to commit a few flagrant fouls on my own, if you catch my drift. By 10 p.m., I had gone through 2 glasses of wine, 3 condoms. She was screaming so loud the neighbors must have thought someone was trying to kill her. Or maybe they figured she was an overzealous basketball fan. At 11 p.m., I washed up, put on my clothes, headed home. What a game. I joked to myself, but on this night, my wife would take me into overtime. When I walked in the door, she was still awake watching television. My first appointment was to run, so I would check myself out, but I wanted to act normal, so I calmly hung my jacket in the closet, went over to give her a kiss, but before I could put my arms on, she began questioning me about the outcome of the game. So how was the game, she asked. It was great. The Bulls looked pretty good tonight. Yeah, they did, all right. She said, but they need much better scoring off the bench. Since when did you start watching basketball? I watch it all the time, she said, sounding smart. But I guess you wouldn't know that since you're gone every time there's a game on. By the way, did you see the vicious dunk by LeBron in the fourth quarter? Oh, shit, I thought to myself. I was so busy laying the pipe to Karen that I forgot to take in a few of the highlights of the game. She had me with my pants on and I sensed that she knew it. But instead of accusing me of lying, she played it cool, allowed me to cut my own throat. No, I must have missed that when I made a run to the store for more beer. What about the clutch free throw Derrick Rose made right before halftime? Because I couldn't believe he missed it. I couldn't believe it either, baby. Would think a professional basketball player would at least make a lousy free throw, right? Oh, and what about that hard foul Carlos Boozer gave Dwayne Wade at the end of the game? Yeah, that was pretty bad. I love how the Bulls play physical. It's like watching football. Why in the world did I say that? So right into her trap, she grabbed the remote and switched the TV channel to Sports Center on ESPN right on cue. the basketball highlights came on. She gave me a nasty stand and excused herself to go to the bathroom. I stood there like a fool with the sports announcer commenting on how the Dallas Mavericks commenting on the Dallas Mavericks game. What was the big deal, you ask? Well, I thought I was watching the Bulls Heat game, but the game on that night was the Dallas Mavericks and Oklahoma City Thunder. Needless to say, I flung her unexpected pop quiz that that incident taught me one very valuable lesson. Don't forget to watch a little ball while you're out playing ball. Damn. The Bulls wasn't even playing that night. That's what you get for cheating on your wife. That's what you get. I see we have 11 minutes left. Yes, let's finish out this story. I know y'all probably thinking, should I get this book? Should I really read this book she's talking about or reading on the air right now? Should I really get it? Yes, you should really get this book. Especially you women, really get this book to learn. It'll help you get you some tips. So you know how to spot the player. For those who don't know how to spot the player, can spot a player. And those who don't know how to spot a cheater, can spot a cheater. Yep. So let's get back into this story. Where did I leave off? Okay, escaping labels. Are men really this sloppy and immature when it comes to cheating, or are women so tolerant that men don't have to reform their cheating ways? I think it's a bit of both. The unfortunate part about Phil's story is that his wife didn't leave him or even threaten to leave. She did what most women do, fuss for a while and then go back to life as usual. Why are women so sure that nothing ever changes? There are rarely any real consequences. At times, it can be frustrating for me as a 40-something-year-old man to report these ridiculous stories about adults who jump through hoops to arrange sex with other women. However, when you consider the unrealistic expectations we put on our relationships, it should be no surprise that we end up the same place over and over again. The definition of insanity is to repeat the same act, expecting a different result. But isn't that what we're doing in our relationship? We meet someone, have sex, fall in love or lust, and put a label on him or her. Then we expect them to act in accordance with that label. But what does that label really mean? For example, if a man tells you he's married, should you assume he's monogamous? If a woman admits to having a boyfriend, should you assume she is exclusive to him sexually or emotionally? My point is labels alone mean nothing without a verbal agreement and understanding precisely what the boundaries and rules are within the relationship. The reason why we have so many men cheating on ways to get away to cheat is because the label of husband or boyfriend for that particular man did not mean he would stop having sex with other women. Maybe the label meant I want to raise a family with you, or you will be the person I introduce to my family as my primary partner, or it could mean I will only love you, but how will a woman ever know that label means that man is all she does is slap a label on him and say, now we're together without any real understanding what that togetherness means to him? Monogamy and commitment are two separate issues for men. So never forget it. I'm not trying to minimize the responsibility of men, to be honest, but let's face it, women don't ask enough questions. In part because once they find the one they are hesitant to do or say anything that will scare them away, especially after she's bragged about him to all her friends and family, now the pressure is on her to play the part. Give you an example of how irresponsible and naive women can be at times. I produced a documentary in 2000 titled, Do Women Know What They Want? The first question I asked a group of women was, when you meet a single man, do you assume he's dating or having sex with other women? Over half of the women said they assume he's celibate or not dating anyone else. That's right. In 2011, women of all ages and races, educated and blue collar, stated that they would believe that a single heterosexual man is celibate, or at least not dating. How is that ratio even possible, considering women's attitude towards men in general? On one hand, women will profess a man is going to be a man. A man with free will, anything with a hole in it. Well, as a woman from Orlando said to me, I teach my daughter not to pay attention to what a man says or what he does. I actually agree with all three of those comments. So do many of you who are reading this book. But here's the twist. If the vast majority of women believe this is the nature of men, why is the world where they assume he's not having sex with another woman when they meet him? That's a classic case of living in denial. Even if a man tells you he's not having sex with anyone else, don't believe him. The fact that over 50% of women admit they would take a man's word for it indicates to me that most women are so desperate, lonely, horny, or determined to find love that they will allow themselves to believe anything to achieve their goals. Some women claim they are simply giving him the benefit of the doubt, but if you really think about it, from a psychological standpoint, what she's really doing is ignoring protocol in hopes that it will lead to something more. A lady friend of mine put it like this: if the woman is attracted to that man, she's already passed the introduction, has already started sizing him up for husband, boyfriend, or sex partner, whatever. To accept the idea that he's already emotionally or sexually involved with someone else is a buzzkill. But here's my point. This man is a total stranger. You don't know him from a can of paint. How did he get elevated to potential husband, boyfriend, or whatever without even so much as a credit check? Not to mention a Google search of potential criminal history. Funny how women would never advise their friends to be so trusting when it comes to managing their own lives. It's often a train wreck. Yes. Okay, there's more. Let me see what time we got left, because, you know, are we already in 4 minutes? So I'm going to read this last paragraph right here, and then I'm already 5,000, y'all. The afterwork getaway. So what does this have to do with men escaping, you ask? Men creating lies to leave home to cheat begins with the lie that he wanted to be monogamous in the first place. That lie was created to make the woman happy and to secure her from being with other men. And then men get tired, bored, or scared, and eventually cheat anyway. And the woman at some point shuts down, settles, or decides to cheat too. A woman I interviewed for my documentary film Love, Lust, and Lies called it revenge sex. So the elaborate scheme to escape home to cheat continues oftentimes with disastrous results. Earlier I mentioned the workplace is the most common place where men and women hook up for affairs. Makes sense then that the cheating man would use his job as an excuse to get away. The way it works is simple. He calls home to tell his wife, you lie by working overtime and then leaves directly from work to see the other woman. Sometimes he's actually having sex on the job with a coworker. You would be surprised how many ass friends are on your boss's desk. Men are notorious for breaking the golden rule in business. Never mix business with pleasure. Or more to the point, don't shit where you eat. The reason why the cheating man prefers to cheat on the job or after work is because he can avoid explaining why he has to leave the house. No man wants to be subject to the guilt, feeling of getting dressed to go out in the presence of his woman, especially since he's not taking her with him. The mere sight of him standing at the mirror, combing his hair, slashing on his most expensive cologne, would surely piss her off. Meanwhile, a subtle inspection is taking place to check that his attire is appropriate for hanging out with the boys and not for picking up skeezers. She would definitely know something's up if he changes out of his stained boxer shorts into the silk bikini briefs he's been hiding in the bottom of his drawer. Of course, this entire situation can easily be avoided if the proper arrangements are made ahead of time. One of the most ingenious methods men use to avoid going home to change is taking an extra set of clothes to work, better known as the hide the clothes in the trunk trip, better known as a hell bag. There isn't a cheating man love who hasn't tried this trick at least once. The problem, however, is sneaking the clothes back inside the car without getting busted. One man said he wasted his wife falls asleep. Another man was so desperate he folded his garment. One man was so desperate he folded his garment bag up and placed it inside the garbage. Now that's ridiculous. Most cheating men avoid all this drama by purchasing a complete wardrobe and leaving it in the other woman's house. The single cheating man who lives alone is no less pathetic. He must also devise clever methods of escape to keep his playboys inside intact. Lawrence, who is 31 years old, is the perfect example. He began dating a beautiful young lady four months ago, and promises not to have sex with anyone else. As a matter of fact, he promised not to have other female guests over to his apartment. How super can you get? During the first 2 months of their relationship, he was loyal to his word, but after 3 months of this torturous treatment, Lawrence began to question his decision to be faithful. I know a responsible man should stand by his word, he said, but I was too greedy, too arrogant to do the right thing. Could he continue to pull off this stunt without alerting his girlfriend to the fact that he is a no-good, low-down, dirty dog? Let's find out. Okay, I'm stopping right there. I appreciate you rocking with your girl right here in RTS Book Club.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.